them all. Step right up. Here we go. Portal Gaming Podcast episode number 7 is on its way. Here we go. So Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is associated with another store called The Time Machine, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Hello, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me is no one. I'm by myself today. Brian is not able to be on the podcast, so it's just me. So I'm excited. I'm going to talk about twice as many games and see how all this goes. I'm staring at walls because there's no one here with me, but it's exciting to get to talk to all of you guys. We got back from Gen Con a couple weeks ago. We made an episode there on the road with Larry, so thanks to Larry for helping us out on the last episode. That was exciting, and now here we go. Lots of games are available. Lots of games are out, coming out of Gen Con, so it's an awesome time of year. The summer is winding down. The fall is rolling in, so I hope everybody's just enjoying their time. Makes time for games and family and whatnot, so it should be a good time. Let's give you an upcoming event. So something that's going on at the store, September 4th through the 6th, there is a big sale. So everything is 10% off if you have the loyalty card. So if you don't have a loyalty card, you want to go down to the portal, sign up for a loyalty card, get yourself that, and then you can come to the sale. And everything in the store is 10% off. In addition, we got miniatures that are going to be on sale, War Machine and Warhammer and other miniatures and other games. There's going to be a clearance table. And if you have that loyalty card, whatever the price is on the sale, you got another 10% off. So definitely check that out. Again, that's September 4th through the 6th. So you can do that. All right, let's talk about what's on your table. So I've got a bunch of games I'm going to run down here. I have a lot of games I want to talk about, so I don't know if I'm going to do a full review of each of these or just tell you a bunch of different games and tell you things about them. So as always, if you're looking for more information, you can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. So I got Ashes, Rise of the Phoenixborn. This is a plaid hat game, and I got this in right before we left for Gen Con. So I got a little bit of a chance to talk about it, I believe, before, but I want to give you kind of the full review and rundown. So what Ashes is, this is a card game, and it's kind of a two-player card game like Magic or an LCG or something like that. But really, it's 2-4. They don't give you a lot of multiplayer rules other than last man standing wins. So I think it's kind of intended to be a two-player card game, but you can play with 2, 3, and 4, and I've tried it with all the numbers. I haven't quite finished all the 3 and 4-player games. I got a little bit longer, but it works that way. So anyway, what happens in this game, everybody gets a Phoenix Born, so this is your main character, and they have varying amounts of life, and then they have varying spellboard and battlefield numbers, and these numbers represent the number of spells they can have active in play and the number of creatures they can have out on the battlefield. What's unique here in Ashes Rise of the Phoenixborn is everybody gets to pick their first 5 cards that they have in their hand. So you get to choose, okay, these are the 5 cards I'm going to start with. So no more you're worrying about shuffling that deck and, oh, terrible draw. Mulligan, oh, even worse. You've got the 5 cards that you want. So if you get a bad start, it's your own fault. So that's kind of interesting, especially with the different Phoenixborns that they have that you can choose from. So I've just played this with the static decks. I haven't done the drafting and the deck building and whatnot. I don't know that I'm interested in doing that. The drafting I am. I'm sorry. I am interested in drafting. They've got a good drafting system. But the deck building, I'm not sure. I think I'm happy with the decks the way they are. Obviously, it's always fun to deck build, but I play this a lot with my wife. I play with people down at the store, and usually it's just easier to hand them a deck and say, this is the preset deck, and go towards it. So my initial impression is this game is really cool. One of the other unique features here is you take one action at a time. So every turn you get a main action and a side action. So the side actions are usually a little bit lesser, although not on every turn. There's some pretty good side actions you can do. And you roll dice in this game to generate resources. And then there's ways to take side actions to manipulate those dice so that if you don't roll so well, you can still do things. So it's really nice, a clean system. The more I play it, the more I'm like, man, they just made this really clean, and I almost get confused because I assume things are true from other card games that I played, but they're not. It's simpler than that. But not to say it's a simple game. The decisions are a big deal. You know, am I going to attack this turn or can I wait one more turn? Oh, if I wait one more turn, they're going to put that big unit that's going to mess up all my plans. So I better attack now and hope that helps me out later. Or I got to save these creatures to defend. An interesting part is your creatures can block and take damage, but they don't have to strike back, in which case they're not tapped or exhausted. So they can then fight again. So you can take your big creature, block with him, and now that the other person's creatures are all exhausted, you can then attack straight through. So it really makes you think differently. It's a really cool game. The artwork is phenomenal. I've already declared this artwork of the year. In my mind, it'd be tough to see something else compare. So it's just really a great game. There's a little bit, so you can come across two decks where one seems to just be better than the other. So I can see this being a place where people want a deck build. My wife is totally in love with Aradel. That's who she's going to play nonstop. I think she got four straight wins against me, and I finally beat her with Mayoni. And I think Mayoni's a tough matchup there. So I don't know that I would play Mayoni every single time. I'll probably try it again to see, yep, that definitely is a tough matchup. So we might switch some cards out, and they're going to expand this and whatnot. But Ashes Rise of the Phoenixborn is a great game, just as I expected. I don't pre-order Kickstart a lot of games. I did pre-order this one. Really, really good. So that's going to be rolling out in the store, I think, late September, early October. I don't have a date on that yet. So as soon as we do, we will let you know. But definitely a game to check out. If you see me around the store, I usually have it with me. Ask me to play. I think this is going to be interesting to people that play Magic and people that play board games. I think it hits both groups of people. So that's Ashes Rise of the Phoenixborn by Plaid Hat Games. The next game I want to talk about is a little bit older. This is Bora Bora. And this is from Aaliyah and Ravensburger. It's a Stefan Feld game. So we've talked about some other Stefan Feld games. Amerigo. Some of the others are Castles of Burgundy, Trajan, Aquasphere. He's got a lot of games. But this was a year that I think he released three. He released Amerigo, La Isla, and Bora Bora. I would say Bora Bora is probably the heaviest of the three for sure. Amerigo is definitely a solid medium weight, but I don't know that it gets anywhere towards heavy. Bora Bora gets simpler as you play it. But anyway, the idea here is we're all on the island chains of Bora Bora, which I believe is between South America and Africa. And we're on the island chain, and it's a worker placement game. You roll dice, those are your workers, and then you place them on various actions. So you've got seven different actions in a four-player game, and some of the actions double up. Like you could take a man or a woman tile, and with two players, it would be take a man or a woman, not one of each. So you get a few less tiles there. And so you place your dice, but the trick is you have to play a die that is lower than the ones that are already on that space. So as soon as somebody puts a one on a space, that's it. It's locked out. Nobody can go there anymore. So it locks up that worker spot. And it's definitely a point salad game, as a lot of Stefan Feld games are. So you're placing these dice, and then you can put priests in a temple, you can build huts, you can gather resources. You put huts all over the different island chains, and you're trying to spread out to score various points. You gain men and women tiles that have different actions that you get to take at the end of each round. And then you gather shells to be able to buy jewelry with. Lots of different things going on, so I'm not going to go into all the details of all of that. But definitely a really interesting game. Makes you think a lot. Can have a little bit of AP, although I thought we played pretty quick. We played it in a solid hour and a half, maybe hour and 40 minutes with four people. Really fun. Really fun. Has some end game scoring. There's scoring at the end of each of the rounds. But then I guess the other trick in the game is there's these god cards you can draw, and the god cards allow you to break the rules. So one of the god cards says, up, you can place any number on a space. So it doesn't matter if there's a two there already, you can put a four on the space. Or even though you're putting a two here, count it as a six, because sometimes the number matters. Actually, I think every time the number matters. So you want higher numbers to be able to do better actions, but you get limited. So In that case, you could say, oh, I'm going to count this one as a 6, even though I placed it as a 2. Some of the god cards just let you score when you place huts. They just give you points. Others let you complete tasks. So at the end of every round, you're trying to complete a task. So it might be, you know, have 2 men and 2 women, or have 3 necklaces, or whatever other things it might be. There's all sorts of tasks. I think they're all unique. And this would allow you to say, hey, instead of 3 necklaces, I only have 2. So you score a little bit less points, but you score those because there's bonuses at the end. If you scored a task every round, if you cleared your board of all your houses, if you built all your buildings that you have to build, if you gathered a necklace every round. So there's all these different bonuses you can get for doing those things. So definitely lots of different ways to win. To me, it's a classic Stefan Feld. Really good, really solid, plays pretty quick, but has lots of those decisions. So that is Bora Bora by Stefan Feld, and that's Aaliyah and Ravensburger. Definitely recommend that game. And it's funny, I'm thinking now, like, oh, that's an older game. But, I mean, it's only, like, 2 years ago. So it's amazing how quick these things go in the board gaming community. All right, next up is Dead Man's Draw. This is a game I was checking out at Gen Con. It's a pretty quick, light, pressure luck pirate game. And I was checking out, and I really wanted to buy it. And then I ended up winning this from the Secret Cabal meetup. Kind of a funny story there going around where I had asked somebody, I said, hey, I'll take my ticket if you win something. I just want Dead Man's Draw. And they end up winning. So I end up getting a copy of this. And I know that Secret Cabal talks about this game all the time. They totally love it. So now I've had a chance to play with lots of people. It's just a huge hit. It's a great game. So what happens in Dead Man's Draw is basically there's 10 suits in the deck. Cannons, swords, mermaids, treasure maps, all sorts of stuff, all the piratey stuff you can imagine. And each suit has cards 2 through 7. And each suit has a special ability. So, for example, the mermaids, their special abilities are not actually 2 through 7. They're 4 through 9. So they're worth more. But the other ones all have a special ability. So you flip a card and then you do whatever that says. So the Oracle says, hey, you can look at the next card and then you can decide whether you want to play it or not. And so you keep going through all these suits. You're blowing up other people's cards that they get and whatnot. And you keep playing until you either choose to collect, which is take all your cards, which will score, or you bust. And you bust when you draw a card that's the same suit as something that you already have out there. And so you're trying not to do that. So that's kind of the fun part of the game, is trying to decide, am I gonna press my luck or not? And then you just collect these cards. And like I said, they get manipulated in all sorts of ways. People can steal your cards. They can blow your cards up. So it's a total take that game. But it's like 10 minutes, maybe 15. So who cares? You know, it's just fun. You don't lose any sleep over the fact that you lost pitifully because everybody stole your cards and blew them up. Whatever. So it's really neat. And then you collect all the cards and you score, but you only score the highest card in each suit. So if I've got swords and I've got 7, 5, 3, and 2, I'm only going to score the 7. So I get 7 points for that. But it gives you a little protection. So if somebody blows up my 7 sword, I still got a 5. So to me, I really only lost 2 points. So that's nice. So the game also comes with some alternate abilities, alternate ways to play the game. I haven't explored a lot of that yet. I don't think the pirate abilities are really for me. It seems like, all right, we're just throwing an ability, which I like, but I don't really think they're balanced. I feel like the game is just fun as it is. It's quick. I'm not worried about what's everybody's ability. The alternate ways to win might be interesting. Like, hey, every card you collect scores. It would just change it up after you played the game a bunch. I've probably played it 6, 7, 8 times now. So, you know, once I get to 10 times, it might be fun to switch it up and whatnot. But that is Dead Man's Draw. That's from Mayday Games. Another game I want to talk about here is Roll for the Galaxy. This is by Rio Grande Games. So Roll for the Galaxy, it's been out for a little bit now. It kind of came out into 2014, more 2015. And this is a dice rolling version of the very popular Race for the Galaxy card game. I love Race for the Galaxy. Really, really good game. I don't know where it ranks in my top of all time. That's coming. I'm working on my top 100. It might end up being a top 50 because 100 is a lot. So then I'll let you know. But it's definitely in there in the top 100. So Race the Galaxy is a great game. And this is the dice rolling version. So in this game, you have a cup, you roll your dice, and the dice give you various actions. So you can explore the galaxy more, you can develop different bonuses for your civilization, you can settle new planets, you can build trade goods or make trade items, and then you can ship your trade items. The big change from Race to the Galaxy, if you played it, is it switches up so that you produce goods first and then you ship them, so you can do that all in one turn. In the other game, you had to produce them later and ship them earlier, but I'm guessing somewhere in the making of this game, it wasn't worthwhile for people to do that, so they had to change it up. But anyway, everybody's rolling their dice. Everybody pits one action that they're going to make sure happens. Then you kind of line your dice up, and there's all this dice manipulation and special abilities from all the planets. And everybody starts with a variable player power. They seem well balanced. And then everybody reveals you're kind of behind a shield, and then you flip over the various actions that are going to happen. And then everybody does those actions kind of in that order. So if I didn't choose to settle, but I had a couple dice under the settle, I can settle. So I get to do that. So you're kind of hedging your bet and saying, I hope that Johnny's going to do this, and I hope Barb's going to do that, and I will get to take advantage of what they're doing. The game ends when somebody fills their tableau to 12, or there's some victory point markers, and when all those are eaten up or taken, the game is over, and then you count points. The planets are worth points. The developments are worth points. Some of the developments, the six-cost ones, have special abilities, just like in Race for the Galaxy, if you've played that. And then you get those victory point chips. And I think that's pretty much everything that's in there. It's a great game. I had played this several months ago. We came back. We played it a week or two ago. Boy, I love Roll for the Galaxy. If you ask, does this get rid of Race for the Galaxy? Boy, they're so same. And I feel like this one is shorter, so that's nice. But the thing to me that's missing in Roll for the Galaxy that I love about Race for the Galaxy is in Race, your actions are from your hand of cards. And so when you want to play a card, you've got to give up other cards as a cost. And making that decision is awesome. It's so unique in that game. And this doesn't really have that. You can kind of do whatever you want, and you're just kind of giving up dice, which doesn't feel as big a deal because the dice will cycle through eventually. You get money to purchase dice to put back in your cup and keep going there. So it's missing that one element that I think, to me, makes Race for the Galaxy better. But it's shorter. It's more streamlined, it's rolling dice, which is more fun, and all those things make me say, I think for a lot of people, this is probably going to be better than Race for the Galaxy, but like I said, it's just missing that one element that I love from Race for the Galaxy, in terms of what's happening there. Also, when people go to explore, that, like, the whole game is running pretty smooth, and then when you got to pass the bag around and everybody draws tiles, that takes a little bit longer. Not a big complaint, just saying that's one part I always notice, people get slowed down with the game. But boy, if your group knows this, you're playing this game in 30 minutes. I mean, 40 would be long. Race of the Galaxy is similar, but making those decisions with the cards can slow some people down. So that is Roll for the Galaxy from Rio Grande Games. All right, I keep going. I'm used to only a couple, three or four games, but no Brian, so that means Brant keeps talking. So I really want to highlight this game, Patchwork. This is an Uwe Rosenberg two-player game from Mayfair Games. And so this is in the two-player line. And so Patchwork is a game about sewing quilts. And that theme is so exciting to so many people. I mean, I talk to gamers, and they just are like, wow, I love all these fantasy battles and recreating Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, but I just wish I could sew some quilts. And so that's what this game scratches, that itch to sew quilts. Wait, no. I'm lying. People are not that into sewing quilts, but this game is awesome. Okay. This is, strategy choice meets Tetris. You've got a quilt, you've got a board, and it's blank at the beginning. That's your quilt. And then there's all these patches around the board, and there are these weird Tetris shaped tiles. So every turn, there's a little marker. You get to pick one of the next three. And there's two costs associated. There's buttons, which are basically like your money, your economy. And then there's time. And so there's a time board that's in the center between the players. And so on your turn, you pick a patch, then you pay the buttons, and you pay the amount of time. So you move forward. So let's say it took five time. I would move my piece up five, and then the other player would get to go. Let's say they bought one that was only three time. Well, they're now behind me, so they get the next turn. So whoever's behind gets the next turn. And if you're tied, it's the person who's on top. Who gets to go next. And then every so often you'll pass two things. You'll pass buttons, which mean you collect income. So all the patches that you're getting have buttons on them. And when you pass a button, you count the number of buttons you have on your quilt and you gain that many buttons. So that's your income. So the more of those buttons you get, the more income you'll have to buy other patches. And then in addition, there's little leather patches, which are one by one, or just one. I'll go with one by one. And those can just fill in some of the holes. So you keep playing the game. The time board runs out. Once both players have got to the center, then you count up. So you take your number of buttons that you have at the end of the game, and then you subtract 2 points for each empty square, and whoever has the most points wins. So really simple. One thing that's funny about this game, many times that I played, one and or both players pretty much always score in the negative. So the last game I played, I believe... one of us had -6 and the other one had -1. And so it's a little funny, like you feel like you play this whole game and sold this whole quilt and did all these things and you end up with -1 points. So it's a little funny, but it's a two-player game. So it's just that's just kind of how it ends and what happens. But it seems tough to fill a good portion of your quilt in that time frame, all depending on these patches, which get laid out randomly. And you kind of move forward as you buy more of them. But it's awesome. I've played it with a ton of people. I've always enjoyed this game. I mean, it's simple. It's 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I don't know. But it's just that right amount of like a 30-minute game where you really have to think and then you count up. It hasn't gotten old to me yet. Would I play it every day? No, it's going to get old if I play it every day. But so far, so good. So that's Patchwork by Mayfair Games. All right, I want to talk about Tides of Time. This is from Portal Games. And so Tides of Time is a two-player drafting game. I believe in the last episode from Gen Con, we talked a little bit about this, but I wanted to give you a little bit more on this. So this is scratching the Seven Wonders itch or the other drafting games. You know, I really want to play a drafting game, but we only have two people, so that's what this game's all about. It's a two-player only drafting game. So what happens is there's 18 cards in the deck. So there's basically 5 suits, although there's kind of 6. One of them is a non-suit. It's no suit. The others are all just color-coded. Blue, green, yellow, orange, and purple, I believe. And then all the cards have abilities. They'll say, like, when you have this card, you score 3 points for every purple that you have. Or if you have a set of these 3 symbols, you score 9 points. Different things like this. Then the non-suit cards have interesting abilities, like if you score the highest from any one single card, get another 8 points. So kind of that mechanic. So what you do is you take the 18 cards, shuffle them up, deal each player 5, and then you draft one card pass, so-and-so, back and forth until you have played all 5 cards. And you flip them as you play them, so everybody can see, and then you score the cards. And so that's round one. And then you pick up the 5 cards, and you choose one, each player chooses one, and puts a little marker on it, says, okay, I'm going to keep this card for the rest of the game and keep scoring with it. And then I'm going to take one of the cards and remove it from play. It's no longer in the game. Draw 2 more cards off the deck. Boom, round 2. Draft pass, so on and so forth. Now you'll have 6 cards at the end because you'll have the 5 you drafted plus the 6 that you held over. You score with those 6, boom, that's round 2. Do the same thing. Retain 1 card, get rid of 1 card, draw 2 more. At this point, all 18 cards are in play, so it's never one of these things like what cards will not be in play. They'll all be in play eventually. Draft 1 more time, and then score a 3rd round, and most points wins. The game comes with an awesome scoring pad, full, double-sided, and it comes with a little pencil, which was great when we were at Gen Con, because I don't think we had a pencil on us, and we could score. Another great game. I know I'm talking about a ton of great games here, but this one was really good. We're, you know, coming out of Gen Con and all these things, and I've been playing all these great games lately, and I just want to let you know about them. But yeah, Tides of Time's awesome. 2-player, you know, again, this is a 10-15 minute, probably more like 15. It seems like every so often you just get a little stuck, like, what do I want to do here? But really fun. It's a great game if you know you're waiting for a group of 4, but you just got 2 of you at the time. Boom, take this out, throw it down. So definitely want to check out Tides of Time, and that again should be coming into the Portal soon. Sorry, it's by Portal Games, but then the store is also the Portal, so they are separate. I don't have a date on this one either, but I think something like October is when this should show up. All right, 2 games that I played recently that I just remembered that I love, and they're solo games. I don't know how many people out there are solo gamers. They're not specifically solo gamers, but they're able to be soloed. And so the first one, I busted out Mage Knight again. Wow, what a game. This is arguably my favorite solo game. It's European in style. It's got almost completely deterministic combat. But you just have all these special powers, and your cards all have two abilities that you're playing. It's kind of a deck builder. You kind of draw cards each round, and then you figure out what you want to play them. So, for example, the move cards will say move two or spend a green mana to move four. And so you're kind of manipulating your mana every turn. There's dice that are representing the mana, and you can use one of those. And then you've got little mana crystals that you can kind of hold on to. Some are just for a turn. Some you can hold on for a while, and you're spending these. So typically you can just cast one spell at its larger cost the whole time. But you've got new allies you can recruit to come along with you. There's all sorts of different enemies. You're taking over castles. You're storming sanctuaries. You're going down into dungeons. It's so rich, so thematic, so fun. It takes a long time. I think when I was playing this a bunch, I could probably knock a game out in two and a half hours. Now it's more like 3 hours to play this one, but I'm playing like a round at a time. And so you play 6 rounds in the solo game, and there's all sorts of other variants and expansions now and other ways to play. I mean, I think there's like 20-something scenarios by now if you have everything. But the one I'm talking about is kind of the specific from the original game solo one. And, you know, a round takes you 20 to 30 minutes. So I'll play one of those, and then I'll let it sit, and I'll come back and play another one of those and play the game. You know, maybe I do two of those a day and knock it out in like 3 days. I didn't score so well the last time I played. I had had some scores in the 200s, 250, I think, even. And this one brought me back down. I think I was 160 or something like that. But it was a new character I was playing with and stuff, so trying to get used to that. I'm not going to go into all the details of this game. Just let you know, this is an awesome game. I have played it a little bit with other people. I don't like the PvP. I don't even know if I like competitive. I'd rather play solo. So you can play this with 2, 3, 4, with the new expansion, even 5, which is awesome. But be warned, it's going to be a long game. If you play a 5-player game, and if everybody knows it, you're probably going to get it done in 3 or 4 hours. But if they don't, it's going to be really long. Like I said, by myself, it's 3 hours. So I don't know if that means 3 times 5 is going to be 15. I've never played it with that many people. I don't think so, because you're going to kind of work together and go your own directions, and you can do that. Really good game. Mage Knight, the board game. This is Vlada Shivadal, and it's produced by WizKids Games. And the last one, I know I've mentioned it before so many times, but we have started playing Lord of the Rings cards again, and Lord of the Rings cards is so awesome. This rivals Mage Knight for best solo game ever. So played through the Land of Shadow, which was the recent big box, got through that, barely got through the last one, but we got through it. And now I've moved on to trying to solo Wastes of Eriador, which is the first expansion pack from the new cycle, and it's kicking my butt. So if anybody has any hints for me on how to do that, or how to get through Wastes of Eriador, or if I'm playing with Brian, or sometimes we add a third and a fourth in, if you know some good decks that work there, please email us, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, and let me know. But I just want to reiterate how good Lord of the Rings card game is. This is the LCG from Fantasy Flight Games. If you haven't tried it, it's totally worth it. It can seem like a tough buy-in because there's the core box, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4. They're on the 5th cycle now. Plus, there's all the sagas. So you can get 2 boxes for The Hobbit, and I think there's now 4 boxes, or the 4th one's coming out soon, for the Lord of the Rings saga. But honestly, you can buy the core set and buy into any one of the cycles, and you'll be fine. Will you want some of the old cards? Yeah. Will they help you out a bunch? Of course. But you could just pick a cycle and go with it. Right now, they're on Angmar, so they're doing all that stuff up in the north. They did one with Voice of Isengard, so that was all surrounding Saruman and his kind of change over to Sauron's side. They did one with the dwarves, Dwarodelph. There was another cycle, Heirs of Numenor, based around Gondor, and then there was one, Shadows of Mirkwood, or just the Mirkwood cycle, I guess, and that was all around Mirkwood and the elves, and a lot of the stuff that was in The Hobbit was kind of in there, even though it was post The Hobbit. But anyway, great game. Check it out. If you're around the store and you want to play it, let me know. I'll bring my stuff. I don't typically have everything, but I'll bring it 1 week, and we can try that out on a Wednesday night, or another time if I'm there at another time. But Wednesday nights, remember, 6 to 11, we're always at the store playing board games. I know there's other groups that meet on Saturday playing board games. There's a Sunday group. There's even a Thursday night group that's playing a lot of LCGs and the Fantasy Flight board games, like Imperial Assault. So the board games are rocking at the store right now. They're really big. Obviously, we have Magic and miniatures and lots of other stuff going on, but board games are in full swing. So there's three or four nights a week that board gaming is going on. Like I said, I'm always there on Wednesdays, but there's other people playing on other days. Shoot us an email. We'll try to set up a game to play sometime as well. So that is what's on my table. All right, let's talk about what's new and exciting at the store. So I got a couple things here. New in, the expansions for Imperial Assault are out. This is the first wave. So Twin Suns, the big box expansion with Boba Fett on the cover. And then the Boba Fett miniature is sold separately. And the C-3PO R2-D2 and the Tusken Raider one is there as well, if I have all those correct. So all those are in at the store, so that's really exciting. I love Imperial Assault. I'm still trying to find people to play Imperial Assault. Not my wife's favorite, not Brian's favorite. So if you're interested in playing some Imperial Assault campaign or skirmish or otherwise, shoot an email over to the podcast, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. We'll set that up. But these expansions are out. They look great. I haven't actually got my hands on them yet, but they look really good. A couple of things in here from, Upper Deck. We've got the Verse system, the two-player card game. So this is a revamp of the old two-player card game. Verse, and it's been redone, so we've got that box in there. I've got a chance to play it once. It was a little quirky the one time I played it, but I'm still totally looking forward to it. It's Marvel. And so it's all those superheroes in this box, so really looks exciting. So definitely looking for a chance to play that game, but that's new in the store. Also, we have the Legendary Secret Wars is in. This is volume one. They're going to release volume two in October. So if you're into the Legendary, that is around. So you can check that out and look at that. Another game that came in a little while ago that I've been excited about is Ultimate Warriors. Kind of looks like a King of Tokyo style game. We have this game in as well. So those are the things that are new at the store. There's lots of stuff upcoming. I was talking about Ashes before, Tides of Time. I know Imperial Settlers has a new expansion that'll be coming out soon. Boy, I'm trying to think of all the Gen Con stuff that'll be coming to us soon. But as soon as we get dates on that, we'll get that out to you. As always, check out the Facebook feed. That's a great place to see new things that are coming out. And the website, www.timemachineportal.com, is another great place. I did also see on the Facebook feed that for the new Magic set, we got, I think they said 198 seats for the upcoming pre-release. So if you're into Magic, there should be space for you. I know they tend to run out on Sunday because we don't get enough seats, and we've upped our allocation from Wizards. So that's awesome with that new set coming out. Should be really exciting. I want to check that out. All right, everybody, that's Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 7, a little shorter than normal. I wasn't sure how long I would just be able to ramble on and on and on, but apparently that's it. So thanks for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Brian should be back on the next one. I think on the next one we should have two other special guests with us, so it should be four of us here, so that should be really exciting, so you want to check that out. We want to highlight kids and family games that we have at the store, and so that should be really exciting. So be looking out for episode number 8. I should mention episode number 7 is I Have You Now, because I have you all in my attention because Brian's not here. So as always, we name those after Star Wars quotes. So that's that one. So thanks so much for listening, guys. As always, I am the Brant, and with me is no one this week. So thanks for listening, and we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on August 25th, 2015. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Omar Nauman and Epic Arts for assisting in the recording of this podcast.